This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at an employee seminar held on February 18, 2026 in Arthur, Illinois.
Well, good morning, everybody. I tell you what, it's a pretty exciting crowd. We're grateful to be here. And I had to think, we was blessed a couple of years ago to take some sales training, okay? And I don't actually like the word sales. I like the word helping people. But we took some training, about 4 days worth, out there in Holmes County, the land of milk and honey, right behind Arthur, Illinois. But we were out there for a little bit, and every morning when we would get to class, they did something to impress upon us how important it is how we start our day. And that was, every morning we'd get there, the guy would say, he said, "Let's begin the day with gratitude." And we would go around, we'd say a little bit what we're thankful for. And there's something about beginning the day with gratitude that puts our personality and our train of thought in the right quadrant. So that's what I'd like to do right here this morning. Is I don't want you guys to get too relaxed out there. We're going to ask a couple of you guys what you're grateful for today. So you're over there kind of big and burly, Laverne. What are you grateful for? Jesus Christ. What a great start. Larry, what are you grateful for? Your wife and children. Somebody else over here. How about you? What are you grateful for this morning?
I'm grateful that God let the sun come up and that I'm able to be here.
Grateful for the sun and grateful that we're able to be here. And you know, I challenge you guys, and I don't get it done every time, but in the morning when you wake up, I'm telling you, if before you roll out of bed, if you tell yourself about five things, it takes you from being pessimistic to optimistic, and you can hit the floor running. In the end, we're all in it together. As far as what I'm grateful for first, I guess, is so much. We could go on and on. I'm grateful for my wife, children, family, church. Should have got you, Laverne, seen what you was thankful for this morning. It just goes on and on, a place to live. It's never ending, and there's so many people that don't have that. So let's acknowledge it and let's be thankful. As far as a way to start, I'd like to draw a picture of a river. And that river, we have whatever it is, 400 or 500 people in here this morning. And that river, I'd like to draw a picture that we're everyone in it. And we're just swimming as hard as we absolutely can. And I want you to picture this from a bird's eye view. All the employees, all the owners, we're all just splashing above the foam. And I want you to picture from a bird's eye view that you see somebody go down right beside you. He pops back up, but you go a little farther and he goes down and he stays down a little longer. This is your fellow employee. My friend, throw that man a log, because not too many paddles on down the line, you may need it back. Stephen Covey says, he says to begin with the end in mind. I think that's a great way to start as well this morning. So in order for us to figure out kingdom-focused employees, in order for us to figure out what we want to get to, let's picture the end. And he tells about a guy that's walking down the street. He's walking down through there. He sees a church house. And there by that church house, he sees a big crew of people. So he walks in there. He walks back to the very last pew and he sits down. Looks around. Notices it's kind of a sad day. He sees his other employees. He sees his boss. He sees his wife. He sees his children. And he gets up there all the way to the coffin and he sees it's himself. Now I want you to experience, if that's you, What are them other employees saying? What's your wife saying? Today, we have the chance to rewrite that story. We've all made mistakes. We've made a bunch of them. I've made more than probably anybody. But from this day forward, we can rewrite what they say at that funeral. And it doesn't matter, obviously, what they say at the funeral. But as far as being a kingdom-focused employee, what's our intentions? What's our goals? Are we, when we show up at work this morning, have we started with gratitude? Are we fun to be around? Are we an optimistic person? Are we pessimistic? One thing that I've found is pessimistic people, misery loves company. An optimistic people is the kind of guy that kind of walks into the room. He walks into the room, and before you know what happened, everybody is just kind of in a good mood. He just kind of brightened things up. And I think that's what we want as employees, as owners, as individuals, as whatever. So when we talk about a kingdom-focused employee, it's literally night and day. So the one guy has got kind of a cloudy outlook. Everything's wrong. He's pessimistic. The other one is looking far off for a reward that's to come, that's not right here today. And I think that's what we want to do. We can be pessimistic, we can be optimistic, and I think at the end of the day, we just want to try to be a mirror. And I think that mirror is shining from the brightest light in the world, God, Jesus. And if we can be a mirror, I'm telling you, what you can accomplish and the lives that you can affect are endless. But if we try to take part of that honor, it's quite a bit harder to make a difference. It'll be a pretty dull light. But if we let it be a mirror, it'll shoot out there in a million different places. Honor is kind of like a shadow. The more you chase it, the more it just kind of goes out in front of you. The more you walk away from it, next thing you know, there it comes. So if we're going to identify the kingdom, don't want to spend a lot of time there, but I do want to talk a little bit. What is the kingdom that we're after? What are we looking at? And when I draw a picture of that, now I want to be very clear. Nobody, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. But when I draw a picture of the kingdom, my picture is over here in the east, there's a huge arch, golden arch. Kind of narrows down to a pretty narrow gate. And that golden arch, I picture the brightest light you've ever seen, brighter than you've ever seen, coming and glistening off of that golden archway, kind of the color of a rainbow. Just the most beautiful picture you've ever seen into these golden arches. And we're going to talk a lot about works today. But this guy comes up to these two golden gates, and he wants to get into the land of the everlasting, where we everyone want to get to. I trust. I know. He walks up there, and my friend, it does not matter how good of an employee you was. It does not matter how good of an owner you were. You bring that passport up there to the gatekeeper to try to get into those golden gates. It doesn't matter how good the works was. It doesn't matter how nice the picture is. It doesn't matter anything. Those are very important. But if that passport is not stamped with a stamp of blood, you're not going to make it. End of story, it's not going to happen. So we're going to talk quite a bit about works today, but I want to be very clear about that. So I would like to look at each conversation that you guys have at work, at home, at church, in your community, wherever it may be. It all kind of goes hand in hand. So I'm kind of going to jumble back and forth here a little bit today. I used to think that you were either business focused or money focused or maybe family focused or whatever. And I think that's all good, kingdom focused. But I believe if we identify the right principles, they can work in every aspect of our life. They can work in family. They can work as employees. They can work in business. So I would like for us to look at every conversation that we have and be that person that kind of raises people up, okay? So every time that you open your mouth today, the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of your life, as long as you live, every syllable you say, there's nothing stays flat. You're either going up or you're going down. Every time you open your mouth, you are either going to be encouraging or discouraging. You're going to inspire or you're going to depress. So my question for you, think back to the conversations that you've had this morning already with your wife, with your children, with whatever you want to talk about. Has it been right? When I talk about inspiring, I can't help but think, I wasn't going to mention it, but yesterday a guy called me, and that's all he wanted to talk about. We never know what all our life inspires. My Uncle Lorne, back in April, was diagnosed with glioblastoma cancer. Clinically, it's about as bad a cancer as you can get. And the point that I want to get out, I want to skip all the details, but the point that I want to get out is last night, he got two vans and he went around and sang for people, as he's done quite a bit before. Are we inspiring people, or are we just living? Another story I thought I might share was the other day I had a meeting with a gentleman regarding technology, and it's not today for that, but we sat down there for the meeting, and he shared something to the effect, he said, which I knew he was, but he was a cancer survivor. And we sat down there and he shared his story. He talked about how he was over in Jacksonville, Florida. And he watched those numbers go to zero. Never thinking they'd ever come back. He didn't think he was going to make it. Wasn't going to survive. And he looked at me and there's a tear rolled down his cheek. He said, I know of no worse feeling than laying on that hospital bed and wondering if we've accomplished anything for the kingdom. I did tell him I'd about as soon be like that, maybe as think you did everything. But we're either inspiring, we're working, we're building, or we're tearing down. I don't remember what you said, but I remember how you made me feel. When I think of an employee, I think of a servant. When I think of a servant, I think of service. And when I think of service, I think of the act of helping people. So we are bringing value to something, somebody, or someone. And I believe that the better the servant heart, the better the employee. The better the servant heart, the better the owner. The better the leader, the better the dad, the better the husband. We have to have the heart that we want to serve people before it goes too much farther. As far as our goals and our visions, what are our goals? What are we after? Are we looking at the kingdom to come and looking and trying to serve everybody, be a service, be an optimist, be a mirror? Or what's our goal? Where are we headed? As far, I think it says somewhere, I can't say where it's found right now, but it says everything that you do, excuse me, sorry about that.
Check one, too, Arlen. He told us this morning up on the speaker stand, if there's not a bottle of water up there, you can call me out. But everything that you guys do, appreciate everything you've done, Arlen. Everything that you guys do is either it says somewhere, I think it's in Colossians or something, it says, whatever you do, do it as unto God with all your heart. So wherever you're at, don't just kind of look at it that you're working for your boss, you're working for your leader, you're working for whatever, because at the end of the day, we're all in it together. And there is benefits of being an employee. It's ironic that wherever you're at in life, you don't have to look around too long till you kind of look around and you see over there on the other side of the fence, it's just quite a bit greener. You know, if you're an employee, you want to be an owner. And if you're an owner, many times I don't think there's an owner that's honest that won't say sometime somewhere he's announced that, man, if I could just carry a dinner bucket, you know. So wherever we're at the end of the day, we're all in it together. And we're not allowed for applause for water guys, are we, Arlen? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. But nevertheless, there are benefits to being an employee. Number one that I can think of would be consistent pay. So an owner's pay is generally like this. And about every owner will tell you that there has been times that they laid awake at night wondering if they were going to have, so they hired this new employee, and they now have taken the responsibility of feeding that family. And almost every time they'll tell you that they've laid awake at night been nervous about that, because it is a huge responsibility. Another thing, on a little bit the humorous side, we all want to be acknowledged. We all want honor. It's natural, okay? But let's just try to be that mirror. So I've many times heard employees make the statement, they said, I helped buy my boss bought him a new horse, or I bought him a piece of land, or I bought him a new buggy, or I bought a whatever. We've all heard it, okay? It is, unless it's different out here than what it is at home. But nevertheless, I've never yet heard an employee say, you know, I was a pretty lousy employee, and due to the fact that I'm so lousy, my boss went bankrupt. Different story. Not my fault. I want the honor, but I don't want no responsibility. The story is now, my boss was such a horrible manager, he went 10 toes up. But nevertheless, there's good and bad. We're all in it together. And one thing I want to challenge myself, you guys, everybody, keep in mind that you have to give before you receive. It's one of the principles of life that will not change. No matter how long you live, no matter what is in the future. If you want to give, you have to receive first. And a little bit of a humorous story on that side of it is, there's a little boy sitting here with a pot-bellied stove. And he's sitting there, he's cold, you know. And he kind of rears back and gives it a little bit of a kick. And he said, give me some heat, and I'll put wood into you. My friend, that's not how it works. So that works in every aspect in our life, okay? If you want more money at your job, bring more value. There are very few business people in our setting that will not compensate you according to your value. So it's plumb and simple. So if you go to your neighbor and you say, I'm underpaid, you basically just told on yourself. If you want more money, bring more value. If you got to give first. If you want more kindness, bring more kindness. If you want a better marriage, be a better partner. Starts right here. Right here is where 99% of the problem is, even though we want to twist it around and say over there is the problem. But if we are honest, if we are transparent, right here is the issue. So if you want more, give more. And it will go into money too. If you want more money, give more money. It's how it works. It's the law. Now, don't ever give because you expect to receive. You miss the boat if that happens. I would encourage you to be a lighthouse at work. When I say a lighthouse is sitting over here on the corner on an old rocky shore. No matter who's watching, that light burns as bright as you can picture. All day, all night, storms, darkness. And I'm telling you, just like my Uncle Lauren I was talking about, the people you can inspire by just keeping on and not worrying so much about me, and I, as just keeping on. Steadfast. Be there. You're serving the sailors out there. You're serving your other employees. You're serving the owners, the leaders, the whoever it may be. When I think of a lighthouse, I think of somebody with self-confidence. They don't have to make a lot of words. They just be. And whenever I think of that, I do want to make one statement. We are at times, so every situation is different. I'm asking you to submit to your boss, to submit to the leader, to submit to whoever that you're under. It's authority. A good friend of mine said one time, he told his kids, he said, no matter where you're at, you got to submit to somebody. Be it your boss, your school, your church, your authorities, whatever. He said, the sooner you learn it, the happier you're going to be. And I think that actually holds true for a lot of us. The sooner we just serve, the better to be. So, but I'm not asking you to forego your code of ethics, okay? A code of ethics, when I think of that, I think of Daniel. Daniel was somebody that was, however old he was, when he was captured out of Jerusalem, taken over to Babylon, into a foreign country. And the thing that I love about that story is he did his very best to serve a pagan king. So there ain't no way your boss is as bad as that king was. So he did his very best to serve him. And then what he did is when the time come to take a stand, he took it without ego. Once was whenever they had the food deal, he ended up 10 times smarter. The next time was when his friends was in the fiery furnace. The next time was about the praying. But I'm going to tell you, Daniel brought all that he had every day. And I think he respected that pagan king from the bottom of his heart as long as it did not forego his code of ethics. And I think it, whatever you do, do it to God. He did his very best to bloom where he was planted. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you guys do that, there's nothing can hold you back. It's going to the top. Just like Daniel did. Before long, he was the head of all the governors. You can't help but like somebody. You can't help but raise somebody like that up. It's just the law. It's just how things work. Another story that I wanted to say is the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is one that I love. And I want you to take a real quick walk with me and imagine the emotions that went on in that story. Joseph was a 17-year-old kid, and his dad, his boss, whatever you want to say, told him, go over here and bring food and raiment to your brothers. 50 miles away. That's a long way. So he listened to him. He did exactly what his dad said.
And we all, like I said a while ago, we want to have honor. So he's walking down through here. He's coming over to, he's coming over there about mile number 48. He's looking over through there, and he finally spots them herds, okay? And he gets fired up because most times when you do good, there's a little bit of a maybe a gratitude. Thank you, man. Thanks a lot for bringing that over here. We was hungry, and we appreciate it. So that's might have been what he was thinking. He was just about to mile number 48, 49. He sees the herds. He comes in here, you know, waiting for that welcome. It doesn't happen. They throw him in the bottom of the pit. I'm telling you, that boy was wronged. Just like you and I will be wronged at some point. Guaranteed, no exceptions. Sometime, somewhere, there'll be things happen. And it's not so much what happens as how we react to them. I'm sure he was depressed all the way over. The Ishmaelites come along. I'm sure he was totally, totally depressed. But what the story that I like about this deal, well, number one, the Ishmaelites was coming from the same family, but that's for another day. But anyway, they get over there. They sell him to Potiphar's house, okay? Potiphar was the captain of the guard in Pharaoh's court. And the thing, again, attitude. So here's a guy that could have been sitting in the corner, have his hand between his knees. He was a son of a rich man. He did exactly what his boss, his dad said. He went over there. He tried to bring value to somebody. Now what? He's a slave. He's a slave in a foreign country. Don't even know the language. Knows nothing. That's sad. I mean, that's actually terrible. He goes on down through here, but there you go again. You cannot hold somebody back with an attitude of service and an attitude of being that mirror instead of me. He did, just like Daniel, did as good as he could. He tried so hard. And before long, he was the head of Potiphar's house. He was in charge of everything. Unbelievable. As a slave. Who would put a slave in charge of all his stuff? But that's what he done. So on down, he does everything. Things are looking up, okay? Things are looking better right now. He's now the head of Potiphar's house. He's still got his same attitude. He's still trying to serve Potiphar. And just like that, that attitude that attracted people attracted Potiphar's wife, which tried to get him into a great temptation, which with the Lord's help, he withstood. Okay? He withstood that temptation. So there you go again. He tried to do what was right. And would you know, she went over here and said a big old lie about him and throwed him right into prison. I really wonder if Potiphar believed his wife, because I can't believe that he put Joseph that high and then just like that throwed him into prison. But he probably didn't have a lot of choice with where he was at. Goes into prison. There you go again. He could have been depressed. He could have had the complete blues. Just like you guys sometimes at work. Things happen. You're wronged. And instead of, too often, instead of just blooming and coming back out of it, we just do this here, you know, and we want to say our story. And we can't read until a little bit farther that Joseph really said anything. He didn't make a lot of words. Throwed him in jail, prison, whatever you want to be. And would you believe, before long, the prison keeper put him above the prisoners. This guy wanted to help people. He wanted to help as many people as he could. And I think that's us today. No matter our setting, I think Joseph had empathy. I love the word empathy. Empathy is the ability to feel sadness because you're sad. I feel it. Because you're sad, I'm sad too. Also, to feel joy when you're joyful. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to do that for some people. So he was in prison. He had empathy. He noticed these two prisoners laying back there in the corner. They was dejected. He had his ear down to the ground. And he went over and he said, "Hey, what you guys, what's the problem? Is there anything we can help with?" And just like you want to do with your fellow employees, you want to be
You don't have to make a big show, but care. Just plumb care and do the best you can. Everything else will be fine if your attitude's right and you're a mirror instead of me, me, me. Okay, so he goes over. God helps him outlay all the dreams. Everything is going okay. We're laying these dreams out. And he tells the one guy, this is the first time that I know that you can read, and you guys can correct me. I may be wrong. But he told the butler in the bakery, he said, when you get put back into your position, as God has told us through the dream, remember that I'm in here unjustly. I think is how it says it. So it's okay to state your position. That's fine. But don't make it your total focus. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on the kingdom, the gates, the whole picture. So he told him, he said, remember that you're in there. Well, he gets put back in his position. Everything's going hunky-dory. And just like most of us do, he forgets about that lowly prisoner over there that helped him. Too often, when we go up, who cares what's behind us? Let's just drive to the top. That's what happened. He got put back in his position. And before long, I think it might have went maybe a couple years. I'm not even sure about that. But anyway, Farrell had a dream. And when Farrell had that dream, that guy said, you know, ooh. He said, today I think about my sin. He said, when I was in prison, there was a guy over there that laid out our dreams. And exactly what he said happened. So there they go. They'll go over to get Joseph, bring him up here in front of the Pharaoh. We got a big problem. I mean, this is a big issue. There he comes, coming out of prison. They got, of course, they had to dress him up. He was just a prisoner. They dressed him all up, brought him in there, set him up here. Now he's a big shot, maybe. Okay. Gets there. And Pharaoh said, I heard that you can lay out dreams. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He pointed where the honor belongs. Just like what we want to do. I believe he was a mirror, okay? We want to do our best. We want to have a good attitude. We want to work. We want to bloom where we're planted. But the honor belongs to the ever-shining light. Okay, so that happened. He laid out the dreams, and he went. From a rich man's son in Canaan, down into the bottom of the pit, and then he came over here, and he was at Potiphar's house. He went to the top, went to the bottom, went to the top, and then he went way up. But the thing I love about that story, there's a guy said, you give a jerk, I shouldn't say that word, if you give an evil person money, he'll become more evil. If you give a godly person money, he'll get better. He said, money magnifies what you already were. And I think there's a little bit of truth to that. A good person with money can actually get all the better. A bad one can get worse. So he goes to the top. He was so big of a deal. When he was driving down the road, they had to bow in front of him. He was a second in the richest country in the world. He was number two. But I believe that same attitude that helped him all the way through that path served him right that well. And also, another point that I want to bring out there is probably maybe the toughest one of the whole deal. And that is where when he was over there, his brothers come over there. So now if he'd have been a prisoner, it'd have been easier to potentially to forgive them brothers. The ones that caused everything. Caused him all the heartache, but that's not what he done. He could have demolished that family. He was the number two man in the richest country in the world. He could have totally wiped him out, except his dad. But that's not what he done. He forgave him. There's a line in the Lord's Prayer that scares me. It says, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I think that can apply to every aspect of our life. We hear about that the employees are going bad. The employees are just not what they used to be. Used to be the employees wanted to work. These young guys, you look like you'd work, but these young guys are just not what they used to be. I guess the question is for me, everybody that's been blessed to be a mom and dad, what for employees am I raising? Instead of trying to talk about the problem, let's try to be, what are we doing different than mom and dad did? What are we changing? Is it our lifestyle? Is it money? Is it vacations? Is it just plum yes and no? The responsibility is right here. Let's quit trying to change the whole world and change us. So just for example, these men sitting right over here, good people. Let's say those five men decided that we're going to try to do the best we can. We're not going to care about the rest of these 500 people. We're going to buckle down, and obviously God's got to help us. Can't be us. But if they each have five children, that's 25 people. Those 25 have five children, that's 125. Those 125 have five children, that's 600. Already more than we got in here. Those 600 have five, that's 3,000 children. Need another Adam Baptist Financial. All because five people buckled down, and that's what I want to try to do in Schwahat, is bloom where we're planted. Quit saying the big story, but control what we can control ourselves right here. There's another story I want to share. And that is, I don't remember what you said, but I remember how you made me feel. Let's try to raise everybody up around us. Let's try to be a blessing. There's a song a gentleman wrote out here in Arthur. It says, as the morning sunbeams brings the warmth and light and drives away the shadows lingering on high. However it all finishes out. But it finishes out, I want to be a blessing to someone today. And I think if we all 500 of us join hands to be a blessing, it's unlimited what we can accomplish. A man and three children walked onto a subway train in New York City. The dad sat down in a corner, totally dejected. These three children was ripping up and down that train, literally tearing it apart. Much to the irritation of the rest of the travelers. Finally, the one guy couldn't take it any longer, and he said, "Sir, don't you think you should watch your children?" The guy puts down his newspaper. He said, "Well, we just come from the hospital where the children's mother died. He said, like the flip of a switch, that attitude went from irritation to love. And love created sympathy. And they were trying their hardest to help them. They was doing their very best. Is there anything we can do? Is there anything we can do for you guys?" In closing today, I want to tell you guys, it's not always what it looks like. So when we get to work tomorrow morning, we get to work, and this guy comes in here grouchy. Maybe his baby was up all night. Maybe there's a rebellious teenager. Maybe there's financial struggles. But throw that guy a log. Throw that guy a log. Because at the end of the day, we're all in it together. I don't remember what you said, but I remember how you made me feel. Thanks a lot to Anabaptist Financial for putting this on. Thanks to each and every one of you guys for the commitment of coming out. Let's join hands. We're headed for the other side, hand in hand, trying to make it. Let's be mirrors. Let's do the best we can as God provides it. May the good Lord bless you.